Welcome to Farmcast Radio, connecting the consumer to Colorado agriculture.
Thanks for joining me today on this episode of Farmcast Radio. Today we're going to be visiting with Kate Greenberg, Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture, as well as Colorado Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. Joining me today, as he always does every single month, is Jerry Sonnenberg, Colorado Senator. And thank you for joining me today, Jerry. And what we got going on today?
You know, I'm living the dream out here. Yesterday I was ready to get the tractor out, start planting corn. And today I'm hunkered down in the cold, and I'm enjoying Colorado's diversity in weather.
Yeah, if you don't like the weather in Colorado, just wait 20 minutes. You might find something different that you like and that you favor, but don't stick around too long because it's going to disappear. So how's things going as far as the general session? I know you've been busy with that along with keeping an eye on the farm and ranch back home.
Yeah, indeed. The General Assembly and the legislature is indeed back in session, and a lot of things happening coming forward, a number of different fronts, whether it's health care, some rural issues. There is a couple of problematic bills. One of them has to do with chemical use and allowing each local jurisdiction to determine what chemicals they can use in that jurisdiction, which would create a nightmare for many of our companies. We in agriculture use Roundup on a regular basis, and if you have some of those companies or some of those jurisdictions like Boulder County or the city of Boulder outlaw Roundup, they may just decide to say, you know, licensing in Colorado and all those different jurisdictions may not be worth it, so we're just not going to sell anywhere in Colorado. And that would be devastating to us in agriculture, not only with Roundup, but maybe a whole slew of different chemicals, pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, any of those things could create problems if that bill goes forward. Even though that bill supposedly has an exemption for agriculture. But as I had mentioned, if a company gets banned by one sector, will they just leave the state and leave agriculture, even though agriculture was excluded from the bill, just because they don't want to have to go through all the paperwork it does to license here in Colorado? One of those things that I hope we can educate our urban cousins about that are in the legislature on how come that's a bad idea.
A little bit more on that. You know, how's that going to affect, especially with nitrogen fertilizer and prices, all that kind of stuff? I mean, if a company pulls out, you know, I would foresee that being a problem and higher prices just to bring some of that Roundup in this case in back into the state. How do you foresee that playing out as far as if a producer specifically wants that?
Well, in this specific scenario, I'm not sure if a company would pull out of the state and not sell their product in the state. I don't know if I go across state lines and buy that product, or if I would have to buy some other substitute product that might do the same thing or meet the same goals. And obviously, that will increase costs for farmers and ranchers. In already a margin-thin environment that we have. Now, some will say, well, gosh sakes, you got $6 corn. Yeah, to raise that $6 corn 2 years ago, my fertilizer costs were somewhere around $250 a ton. And right now, I'm not even sure I can get all the fertilizer I need. But I'm hearing prices for that limited amount that is available up in the $600 and $700 a ton range. So $6 corn may sound really good, but when it's going to take the kind of cost for chemicals and fertilizer to raise that, it's going to make that margin continue to be thin. And then who knows, when that commodity market breaks again, comes back down, will that put a lot of agriculture up against the ropes, quite honestly, when it comes to making their payments.
Touched on it right there as far as the commodity. Yeah, commodities may be going up, but just as everything, prices of oil is going up. Just to get diesel to get into the fields, get the tractors and the equipment and the repair parts to get into the field, those are all going up because of labor and labor shortages and supply chain issues and the looming conflict with Ukraine and Russia. We didn't even really talk about that. And, that's a major concern for feeding our country and just the exports and of commodities and the prices of commodities and what it would have effect on agriculture, let alone in Colorado, but nationwide. So that's interesting to see what'll happen with the fertilizers and the commodity prices, especially not only domestically, but internationally, what happens with the conflict with Russia and Ukraine. But don't want to get off too topic there, but we want to still stay focused on some of these bills that you got coming up. So water is quite a few things that you are keeping an eye on because you are on that Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. You know, you got 9 total bills, and of those 9 bills, you got 3 of them that are centered around water. First one I'm looking at would be the prioritizing the water storage projects in the South Platte Basin, which would be SB 22-126 for your bill. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on with that?
Sure. Quite honestly, as you and your listeners know, I have promoted and pushed for water storage my entire time in the legislature, and even before I was in the legislature. The idea that we keep Colorado's water within Colorado. Now, we have compacts on all the different river basins in which we have agreed to allow so much water into those downstream states. But for example, over the last 20 years on the South Platte, we're averaging about 350,000 acre feet of water leaves our state over and above our compact. So what my bill does is says, look, we need to do more to try and keep that water here. Right now we have cities coming out to rural areas buying land, buying water, and drying up that land, or the potential to dry up that land and dry up farm ground, so that they can continue their urban growth. There is still water available that we need to make every effort we can to keep in the state of Colorado to take the pressure off of agriculture having to dry up ground to provide water for our urban cousins. That's what this bill encourages CWCB to do.
Yeah, and you, Kerry Donovan, and Richard Holthofer are the primary sponsors of that bill, and it's always a good thing to use it before you lose it. And that's another thing too, another bill that's right around that as far as the Groundwater Compact Compliance Fund, which is that bill SB 22-028. That one is down in the Rio Grande Water District. Is that kind of what's centered on that one too, is using that one before we lose it?
Actually, that bill came out of the Interim Water Committee, and it's a little different structure. That bill, right now, we're having trouble meeting the compact obligations on the Republican River and the Rio Grande River, in which we are over-pumping the groundwater. We have been sued by Kansas and Nebraska on the Republican, and the Rio Grande has been trying to meet their obligations by reducing the amount of wells that are pumping water. In order to do that, for example, the Republican has used the CREP program, the Conservation Reserve. Oh gosh, and I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's a federal program to try and take land out of production so that we can cap wells, either turn it into dry land or grazing lands, so that we meet our obligations with Nebraska and Kansas. The Rio Grande is much the same way. They have too many wells or pumping too much water, which are causing havoc on the system. And what this bill does is sets aside some money to try and help retire some of those wells. It's a long process. It's a small drop in the barrel, pun intended, for trying to get water balanced in those two basins, but it's a challenge. The truth is it'll probably take 100 to 150 $50 million to get us into compliance in both of those districts. It's going to be a challenge, quite frankly, and hopefully this bill will help start that conversation so we can figure out how to meet those needs, how that we can have wells that are still producing and agriculture land still producing, even though there may be fewer acres down the road in 20, 30 years.
We're going to pause for a commercial break, but coming up in the next segment, we will continue our conversation with Colorado Senator Jerry Sonnenberg.
We'll be back right after these messages. To find out more about FarmCast Radio and catch up on the latest news in agriculture, visit barnmedia.net.
One of the tenets of what we do at Sylvius Financial is we're going to make their risk transparent for them and show them where things are.
The farmer should know at all times inside a Sylvius software or with a Sylvius service person how their insurance is working with their brokerage.
And so we can help people understand exactly how to use them and make it transparent when they can be applied in what situations.
Grain corn is a key source of energy for farm animals, and products like eggs, milk, cheese, and meat provide important nutrients and high-quality protein for healthy bodies. Learn about corn's role in a sustainable food system at coloradocorn.com. This message is courtesy of Colorado Corn Administrative Committee.
Colorado pork producers are dedicated to producing safe food and employee practices that protect public health. We are people and families in your community, your neighbors that are dedicated to contributing a better quality of life in those communities. For more information, contact the Colorado Pork Producers Council or visit porkcares.org. After all, pigs are the inventors of bacon.
If you work an 8-to-5 job, when do you have time to get to the bank? First Farm Bank's drive-up window is open from 7:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8:30 a.m. until noon on Saturdays. You won't find another bank in town that's more accessible. Stop in and see our Sterling or Yuma locations and find out how First Farm Bank is putting you first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.